I don't know if I'm going to come about with something miraculous or incredible with what we're going to find out here. But I do have some answers to what principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness are. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to, in order to get some good things in, is I'm going to do the second half in reverse. And so when we principalities, let's just concentrate on that. What is a principality? Is a principality an angel? Yes. A principality is, in the case of Ephesians 6, it's a fallen angel. And a principality is run by a principality. And so when we're discussing the angelic world, there are angels that have greater power than other angels. And then there's a rank of an archangel. And so let's just go to this. Michael the archangel, right? And an archangel has the a Greek form arch in front of it, archangelos, which has to do with being first or a beginning. An archangel is a member of the highest ranks of the angelic world, a chief angel. The title has within it arche, and the one who has this, like Michael the archangel, suggests that he's a beginning. He's a ruling angel, a ruling angel, and it's a possibility that particular spiritual beings were created in an order. In an order. And so out of archangel, I get the beginning. The beginning. And it could be that God, rather than creating everything at once, created them in an order. And this is a supposition. This is a supposition on my part from what I see in scripture. That's, you know, I mean, what can we do? Am I preaching truth? Well, I'm saying something that could possibly be true because they're archangels. They're beginning angels with a higher rank. Principalities. Principalities have to do with a prince. A prince. It's the Greek form hegemonia. And a principality is a fallen and corrupt being as far as Ephesians 6 are concerned. These angels have great power. They are angels of Satan that are attached to governments of countries. Their financial and legal systems. How about that? Oh, really? Oh, really, you say? Mike, how do you account for that? Well, I account for that because of the word principality and power and what it is. But if you turn to Matthew 4, you'll remember a temptation offered to the Son of God, right? And so, was Satan in a fallen state when he tempted the Son of God? Yes. Were there fallen angels around when the Son of God was on earth? Yes. Were there demons that indwelt people when the Son of God was on earth? Yes. Did heavenly angels do work when the Lord was upon the earth? Yes. That might have changed as far as angels being positive for us at the end of the book of Acts when Israel was set aside. You know, because angels and a lot of these heavenly creatures are associated with Israel. Okay, they are. But in Matthew 4, you know, you could ask the question, really, you know, you read Matthew 4, 8 through 10, you guys know what this is. And so we know that Satan isn't a king, he's a prince. He's the prince of the power of the air. And this is what he said to the Lord in Matthew 4, 8 through 10. Again, the devil, taking him up into an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto the Lord, all these things will I give you if thou will fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for as it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, my question to you is, if Satan didn't have control of all of these kingdoms of the world, how in the world could he offer them to the Son of God? There's no way that he could unless he had control of the kingdoms of the world. And so, Satan is the prince and power of the air. What is Satan's principality? Satan's principality is the world. That's what Satan's principality is, and he's the prince of it. He's the prince of the power of the air, but he is not the king of the world. And let's turn to Daniel 10, talking about archangels. Okay, so far, you know, I'm kind of doing this any way I can. I'm trying to just get out information any way I can here, so it might be a little mixed up now. And so we've learned that Satan, the fallen Lucifer, the fallen cherub, has control over the nations of the world. And let me just put this to you. Do we live in a world in which governments are godly? Absolutely not. The closest godly government was the United States of America back when the Lord allowed the United States of America to be a Christian nation originally. Of course, now that is being totally kind of destroyed from the inside out, isn't it? And so, so what does it have to do with a principality and power? Well, we know that Satan is going to come in the form of a being, and we know that his principalities are working in the nations of this world to bring this about. And so, if you say, well, okay, so what does that mean? Well, even look at the United States. Look at the United States and its judicial and economic systems. Is it fair? Absolutely not. If I'm rich, I can buy myself out of a murder charge. That happens all the time. The lawyers say it's not a matter of justice and truth. It's a matter of who wins. That's what's going on in our judicial system, more or less. It favors the rich, and it diminishes the poor. That's what it does. What about our economy? Is it fair across the board that somebody can invest and make money, you know, like anybody else? No, the richer you are, whammo, you can make tons of money, bang, 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 and now the middle class is being destroyed in this country. And so what I'm saying to you is this, is that the princes of Satan that operate in the kingdoms of this world that Satan has control over, control the governments and the systems of this world. That's what I believe they do, and that's what I believe the scriptures point out. And our country is quickly separating rich and poor. You know, there is no equality. Now, am I talking about, you know, in the Acts period, it talks about the apostles coming together, and they had people selling everything, and they took all of their money and put it in one pot, and then they distributed everybody equally, right? I think that's in Acts 4 or something, right? Then a couple didn't do that. If that's in Acts 4, I might be mistaken about. A couple didn't do that, and they were dropped dead by the Holy Spirit. Bam! Dropped dead cold because they held something back. And they blaspheme the work of the Holy Spirit. So that is the Lord's way. Am I talking about communism? No. Because communism is like Russia or China. That's our idea of communism. And that's not an idea of the way the Lord would have things. And so that's coming. And so it doesn't surprise me that these principalities, which are high-ranking angels, have control of the economic and political world systems. So what does that have to do with us? Okay? What does that have to do with us? Okay, so let me try to find some more information here. Okay, we talked about cherubims, archangels. Okay, pardon me, I went on ranting here. Let's turn to Daniel 4. And we probably have learned about what happened when a particular angel was trying to come to Daniel, and he was resisted. He was resisted by a principality of Satan. And so Michael the archangel had to be called upon. And so, and then how many angels are there? I don't have a scripture for this, but there's millions, maybe billions and trillions of these beings, because how God creates is in the trillions and billions of things. Sand of the sea, stars in the heavens. He just multiplies like madness. That's what he's like. And so I look at the angelic world as being like the stars of the universe. Millions and billions of them. Okay, and there are armies of them. That's found in 2 Corinthians 10. But we'll get back to the question of how our struggle against these principalities and powers is. Okay, so I'm just going to point out this in Daniel, though. Daniel, just to let you know that, you know, there's a, oh man, do I have this correctly? Hold on. Yeah, Daniel 10, 4 through 16. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed with linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz, and his body was like beryl, and his face the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and his voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, no less, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard a voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face was turned to the ground, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, man of greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, and this is a holy, unfallen angel, he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, or an archangel, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And so now we have a couple of things going on here. We have the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And so what I'm going to say to you is this, is that is a high-ranking principality, a prince, a high-ranking angel whose principality is that of Persia. His control, or his principality or area of control, was Persia. And then this angel tried to contact Daniel, and it took Michael the archangel to defeat the power of this prince, of this principality. And then there's kings of Persia, which I happen to believe that are actual kings of Persia. And so what I'm saying that for is that, again, I believe that these principalities have control over kingdoms of the world. I think the scriptures point that out. I think that's what's going on. And I think that it's going on around us all the time. Okay, now, turning back to Ephesians 6, we'll notice this, and that, you know, I want to get this through, right away. And so, you can, make sense of what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is this, is I'm trying to understand what our wrestling is against. What our wrestling is against, and if you're like me in any way, which you might say, oh no, I don't want to be like him. No, if you're like me in any way, you're going through a heck of a lot of wrestling. You know, you're going through a heck of a lot of wrestling, and I'm not saying that you have to. Yeah, I'm not saying that if you don't, you're a lousy son of God at all whatsoever. I'm just saying that, hey, you know what? This might happen to you. This might happen to you every day. You might be attacked in certain ways. You might be attacked by people that, the sons of disobedience, by the way. Satan in Ephesians 2 is the prince of the power of the air. He's the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And so we have a human world around us that if they're not of the Lord, they're sons of disobedience, and they could really make problems for you in different ways. They could be bosses that make problems for you. They could be backbiters that make problems for you. You could be unjust. You could be unjustly tried by the systems of this world, by a judicial system. And then what would you attempt? What would you be tempted to do? Okay. What would you be tempted to do? If you're unjustly treated in this world, you might be tempted to say, Lord, what about this? Where is your justice? Okay. I am tempted to say that because after all, I'm his own. I shouldn't be treated with injustice. Should I? Should we be treated with injustice because of who we are? Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. And so, through different ways, of this world, these beings could, tempt you in certain ways and in judicial systems, in financial systems, in spiritual systems. They could tempt you in certain ways this way. And this is what I'm going to say to you. That if you look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, you'll find that we're supposed to put on an armor of God. And we're wrestling against principalities and powers. But you'll notice this. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers, comma, of the darkness of this world. And so, I think those are three things that are of the darkness of this world. There's principalities of the darkness of this world, there's powers of the darkness of this world, and there's rulers of the darkness of this world. And this is what we're wrestling against. This is what we're wrestling against. And the rulers of the darkness of the of this world is the Greek word kosmokrata, kosmokrateros, kosmokrateros. I love kosmokrateros. And what this means is world ruling gods of darkness of this sinful world. These are spiritual forces of evil which promote the state of being wicked, malicious, godless, and without moral values. I'll say it again. Rulers of darkness, which is in Ephesians 6, kosmokratoros, rulers, ruling gods with a small g of the darkness of the sinful world. They are spiritual forces of evil which promote the state of being wicked, malicious, godless, and without moral values. Where do all the vexing things of this world come from, that we are witness to, and that are building up in such quick manner. Immorality. I don't even want to start talking about it. I really don't. I pray for our children. And, you know, I mean, what? I could talk to you 10 hours about what I see, blah, 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 and what's coming about and what's being accepted that way. Moral value. And I'm telling you, we're in a battle. Certainly, we are in a battle. And I would say this to all, I say this to our children. I'd say this to children and to college kids, especially, be strong in the Lord. When you go out there, put on this armor, because we are going to be subject to these principalities of wickedness, of immorality. They are going to be subject to it. College kids are going to be really subject to it because of philosophies of evil men. And so these cosmocrators, they're promoters of sin, of wickedness, of brutality. These are ones that promote 2 Timothy 3. Godless people, people that are high-minded, people that are bold, people that are bold against God, people that enjoy pleasure and they enjoy it right in the face of God without feeling whatsoever. These are people that harass you and harangue you and put you down, put your character down, and they could step away without a problem doing it. And I believe that these cosmocrators are the spirit that is working in these folks. And the country that is promoting these things, I believe, that are under control of these rulers of darkness, of these cosmocrators. How these spiritual fallen beings, how are they working against us, you would say? Well, we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. And if we look at the armor of God, of course, we're not going out and fighting them, right? We're not fighting them with our fists or swords or some spiritual power. You know, we don't have control over, you know, if there is demon possession today, which I believe it is, we don't have power over extracting that demon out of the person like the apostles did and the Lord did during the Acts period. I think that's a foregone thing, but I particularly still believe in demon possession. And so this, if we look at the armor of God, it states that we take on the whole armor of God. And this armor of God, again, isn't a light thing. It's not a joke. It's not something that, if you're a son of God that knows the mystery or you're a child of God, this is not something that is something you just talk about. Yeah, yeah, and blow it off and go on and play golf or whatever you do. No, it's not that whatsoever. I mean, you're in a wrestling match and it's serious. And so things can come upon you. They can come upon your flesh. They can come upon your mind, especially your mind. And it says this is what I'm getting at. How do these principalities and powers, how do they affect us, and why should we put on this armor? And so, I'll get to that in a minute. Getting back to, powers, okay? Sorry, this is a little disjointed. I made a new word, okay? Disjuncted. So you'll have to forgive me. Disjointed. You know, but, in fact, this is a true thing. And so I want to really stress this. This is something that truly we are going through. And so, when this happens to you, if it does, and no matter what degree it does, actually it's a great thing because you know that you're a son of God. In actuality. Powers, there are the Greek form, there's three of them. Exousios, dunamis, and ixus. And what these powers are very strong, mighty angels that function with remarkable power and speak with the right and the authority to rule by virtue of their office, and it speaks to their domain of power. And so there are different ranks in the angelic world. There are different ranks as far as principalities and powers. Principalities are angelic beings with greater power than a basic angel. I can say that. And the more I study, here, let me get the notes on other things that I was supposed to talk about. And, you know, I can tell you about them. As far as, oh man, I might have lost it somewhere. Sorry, I'm all disheveled. But if you look at, thanks a lot. If you look at mites, they're powerful, mighty angels. If you look at dominions, it's talking about ruling lordships, a special class of angel that bears majestic power. Dominions are angels in high positions of office with resources to command. Hosts, they're called stratia. The scriptures talk about hosts. They are armies of angels, heavenly armies of angels, and they're talked about in 2 Corinthians 10 as forming strongholds. Okay? So, and Paul talks about as far as, let's read that. It doesn't hurt to read about that. And then I'll come back to the armor. But my point is that, in fact, these principalities and powers that we're working against are ones, our dominions, are strong angels, powerful angels that are associated with the kingdoms of this world, and they're associated with darkness. We have God the Holy Spirit. We have a calling that is totally set in iron. We really have nothing to worry about. And so we have to understand, I guess this would be another study, why the Lord has us here. Why does the Lord have us here? And then we could ask the question, why the wrestling? You know, why would the Lord have us go through this wrestling? That's something that that has to do with faith and your perfecting. Also, too, I'm going to mention one thing, and this is interesting. I'll get to this. And what about 1 Timothy 5:19-21? What about 1 Timothy 5:19-21? So I'm all over the place, right? You're thinking to yourself, he just said this scripture, he's not going there, what the heck is he doing, right? Is that what's happening to you? Sorry, this is my brain, but it's still functioning, so I guess I'm thankful for that. So, let's forget 2 Corinthians 10, and let's go, you know, because I have all this information I'll never get to. Let's go back to our armor. And this is, I guess you could say this is, you know, fairly not too involved. These principalities and powers, powerful angelic beings that function under their chief, the prince and power of the air, we wrestle with them. And so we have to put on this armor. And one of the reasons why we have to put on this armor is because we're people of the mystery and we're called to teach. We're people of the mystery and we are called to enlighten all as to what is the dispensation of the mystery, every one of us. And so that's the reason, one of them, why we put on this armor. He's chosen you to this high calling. He's not done with us yet. Otherwise, we'd be out of here. Sometimes, I'm sorry, this is getting a little bit human here, but sometimes I ask him the question, hey, Lord, what am I still doing here? What am I doing here? You know, I know about this. Why about me? Uh-huh. No, I know about this, that, this, and that. What am I still doing here? Well, oh, sorry. It's not all about me. What are we still doing here? Well, we're still here because we have a purpose with the Most High, and we've been called to the Most High calling. And so, when we look at the armor of God, in light of these principalities and rulers of darkness of this world, and we discuss how they might affect us in our human state with injustice in this world, where we might question our Lord. I can say that that has happened to me. I can admit that. I have no problem with that. Maybe you have said, where is the justice in this world, Lord? Maybe you have. Okay, so when you put on this armor, these wicked principalities and powers, these strong angels of wickedness, and by the way, spiritual wickedness, that has to do with an angelic world that is perverse. And I won't go into that a bit, but it says in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. And we're supposed to stand. That is true. Standing in this evil day, it's remarkably evil. And so you have the truth that's guarding your core. You have to rely on truth that you know. You start straying away from that, and you're going to be attacked for what is truth. This could happen to you. This could come in many forms. It could come from people that are strong in a faith that isn't a mystery. I don't know how that could come to you, but you could be attacked by what is truth. And so you have to have your loins girt about with the truth of the mystery. Having the breastplate of righteousness. Well, that goes back to the evil one and these minions, calling out what you've done in the past. You know, what is your righteousness? Do you have any? Maybe somebody knows you in the flesh and they'll attack your righteousness. And then you'll bring it upon yourself that you have to defend your righteousness in front of them. It's happened to me. And the more intense of an environment that is, the worst suffering, more suffering it is. You don't have any righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. That's what defends you. And so if any attacks come on your person because of your human being by another human being that is not a son of God, this might happen to you in various forms. You put on the righteousness of Christ. You say, my righteousness is the righteousness of the Son of God. And see, this is something that is in flux all the time. Our lives, as soon as we wake up, we have thoughts. Bang! You know, I pray that I might put on headphones that have the Word of God. Bang! As soon as I wake up, whammo, that Word of God is going into my head. Because usually I get up and I have negative thoughts. You know, and so, Lord, I pray, have good thoughts come to my head. And so, that's just me. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the mystery of peace. We have and we need the peace of God. Satan and these minions and fallen angels and principalities are after your peace. The peace you have in the Lord, and you can be taken away from this peace, and you can be wrapped up in things of this world. The next thing you know, this peace has gotten away from you. All right, so your peace is in the Lord. And the fact of your salvation as being your headgear, you're saved by the Lord, you're a son of God. This should help you when attacks come upon your mind. The mind is a battleground, no doubt today. Barney has said this. Our minds are a battleground. There's no doubt about it. And so, with these principalities and powers attacking us or wrestling with us, these things come about. And then faith. Faith is a big one. I've all taken the shield of faith. And so, your faith is going to be tried. That's a given. I believe by God himself. He tries our faith. He tries our faith. And there's other scriptures that talk about faith being tried seven times over, like silver, to remove all the impurities. All right. And so there's a work done with us, within us. And you could say, well, that doesn't sound too great for me. But nevertheless, it's great for the Lord, because eventually what you're going to do is you're going to trust in him totally. You might be taken to a place after this wrestling or in this wrestling where the only place you can go is him. All right. I don't know what your experience is, but I pray to the Lord for all of you that in this wrestling, the only place where you have to go is him. Not your strength, not your money, not anything, not your relation, nothing about that. You're God. You're the Son of God. Is your source. So, if you're being brought to that, that's a great thing, having to rely on him every second of the day. What about 1 Timothy 5? Yeah, we got a few minutes here. What's with this? Well, you know, I don't know if, Ron was talking about the cliffhanger and all that. I don't know if I answered his questions, or your questions, in a great way. But, you know, maybe you can work with some of the things that I've put forth here today. And, you know, I don't have all the answers. None of us do. There's no expert in the Word of God. Is who said that? We're all students. We're all students. The Welches and the Bakers and Bullingers and the Rons and the Lins and all of us on here, we're students. So let's turn to 1 Timothy. What about this? And this is, we're going to have another reason why we're here, which I particularly believe. Okay? I believe that we're actually now being witnesses to principalities and powers in the heavens. All right? So that might be another reason why these forces of darkness might be working against us. Strong forces. And, you know, I mean, you can take this and run with it. As far as what I put out there, I'm no expert at anything. I'm no expert in the Greek. You guys can take all of these spiritual beings and titles, and you can run with it, and you'll find out some great things. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 5:19 through 21 in the last few minutes. Look at this one. This one took me back a bit, because as we know, God the Holy Spirit works in us. We're not supposed to worship angels. We're not supposed to count on genealogies or anything like that, any service of the law, anything of the flesh whatsoever. And so we would figure that angels wouldn't be found in any of the prison epistles, right? Well, when you turn to 1 Timothy 5:19 through 21, this is what you find. And I don't know if I have the supreme correct answer to this one, but let's read it. I mean, you know, we're all friends here, right? We're all friends here, aren't we? Yeah, well, I'm not going to give you my address. No, we're all friends here, and so this is what it reads. Against an elder. Okay, so this has to do, 1 Timothy, there's directions of the body of Christ, as far as how to treat people, widows, elders, and such. And it talks about witnesses here. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And so if you have an elder and another elder says, hey, you know, that guy's a rat. No, there's got to be two or three witnesses to what he's talking about, apparently. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear. Okay, well, that has to do with blatant sin, I suppose. I charge thee there before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, too, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. What are elect angels doing in 1 Timothy 5? Okay? So, we've been discussing angels. We've been discussing how angels don't operate in the realm of the dispensation of the mystery on this planet as far as we're concerned, as far as giving us instruction, as far as empowering us. We're empowered by God, the Holy Spirit. I've hammered that one enough. But they were elect angels. And hopefully I can find the word elect. What is an elect angel? And, you know, they're being a witness to how these elders or how somebody is being treated by the Father, by the Son, and by these elect angels are the standard of witness apparently here. And boy, I can't find the word because, you know, everything's all over the place. Sorry about that. But an elect angel has to do with a special angel, has to do with a called angel. And so when we read Ephesians 3, I'm going to say that a possibility of who these angels are these. Because are there myriads of unfallen angels? Absolutely. Are there unfallen cherubim and seraphim, even though they might not be applied to our calling? Absolutely. Are there archangels that are unfallen? Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's a lot of things that, a lot of creatures, a lot of beings that we're going to learn thoroughly about when we're manifested in glory. Is there a holy of holies in the heavens? I would say absolutely. You know, can you prove it? Maybe. All right. So when we read Ephesians, what do you think about verse 10, yourselves in your minds? And I believe this. I think that it's a possibility that the elect angels of 1 Timothy 5 could be, in fact, principalities and powers in the heavens. It's a possibility. It's a good possibility. Okay? How, you know, what more information do we have on this? Maybe not a lot. You know, but it's there. It's there, and certainly the Lord knows that it would strike our mind. And so in Ephesians 3, Ephesians 3, 7 through 12. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who is the less than the least of all saints is this great grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to enlighten all as to what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God who created all things by Christ Jesus. To the intent that now, unto principalities and powers. Well, as far as we looked at what wicked principalities and powers are, there are unfallen principalities and powers in the heavens, beyond the ice, beyond the universe. And you could say, well, like some people I know of the mystery, they've said, how can a person like me in this state be a witness to awesomely holy beings in the heavens? There's no way I can. I've mentioned this before. And I would say that's right. There's no way that we can in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit working through us definitely can. Because we walk with an eternal calling, the highest calling ever given to a human being, with God being within us. Can God the Holy Spirit witness the principalities and powers, the work that's being done through us? Absolutely. And I believe that it's now. I don't believe that I have to die and resurrect for this to happen. I think things are now. And that's a reason why we're here also, is to witness to these heavenly principalities and powers. Might be known by the assembly, who is the fullness of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And one more scripture, and then I can end this. Now, I hope that at least I provided some sort of spark. I hope that, you know, I don't know if I thoroughly gave the answers that you were looking for. You know, but we're all instructed to study for ourselves, as men have said. We are instructed to stand before God as workmen ourselves. Workmen ourselves. Nobody's gonna stand for us, but we're gonna stand as far as our work is concerned. An awesome verse, and this is one we can live off of every single day. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And I'll close with that. Knowing this, that our wrestling will not overcome us, and that our calling is sure, and that our true life is hid with Christ at the right hand of the Father. And I suppose I would wish that all of you, and pray that all of you, would really possibly understand, and I'm sure you do, how great that is. If ye then be risen with Christ, or since you are risen with Christ, it should read, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. And so, that'll help move you on. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory. And so, maybe I can, you know, in future times, elaborate on the subject if I find more things that would be helpful. Thanks a lot. Love being with you. And that I hope that you're reveling in your calling, because that will certainly carry you through this place.